Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, radio podcast on iHeart or Radio MD or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for downloading us. It is you who motivate us, and we have a great guest for you today. Andrew Smitherman is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of North Carolina Lindberger Comprehensive Cancer Center and the UNC, that's University of North Carolina School of Medicine, and medical director of the UNC Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Program. That's actually how you can get them. If you remember Adolescent and Young Adult, AYA, it is uncaya.org, and you can find out more about this. But he's a physician scientist who's focused on improving cancer care and especially the survivorship of young adults and adolescents who have survived childhood cancer or childhood and adolescent and young adult cancer. So his research focuses on how do we get them to survive better, because there is an increased disability rate, there is an increase in what might be called aging of the young adult who undergoes cancer chemotherapy. And we're going to talk to him about that. Before we do, I've got to remind you that we, as usual, are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. They sponsor both the A and the B segment. The A is always the latest medical news of the week. The B, and this is 1016B, so almost 20 years. And by the way, the 1020, which is the anniversary issue. You'd say, why isn't 1040 the anniversary issue? Well, 1020 is because we always take the week between Christmas and New Year's and do a best of show. But 1020 is the anniversary issue where we'll talk about longevity and all the latest changes in aging. That's why this is so important, because Dr. Smitherman's research looks at aging and the mechanism of aging, an incredibly important thing. But the sponsor of all of our podcasts lately, meaning in the last 5 or so years, is Persona Nutrition. You can use Persona for your personalized supplements. All you have to do is have some fun by taking the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. Go to mypersona.com, mypersona.com. And by the way, if you backslash Roizen, my name, R-O-I-Z-E-N, you get a discount, a sizable discount. I think as of this recording in October of or November 2020, it's 33% off your first two orders. So, Dr. Smitherman, thank you very much for coming on. What I'm going to first find out is, tell us about how you got interested in this field. So you're a physician now, you've got your MD degree. What happened after that?
That's right. And thank you so much, Dr. Roizen, for inviting me to be a part of your program today. It's such a pleasure to speak with you. So thank you. So I graduating from medical school, I came to UNC to complete combined training in internal medicine and pediatrics. And that unique training, really gives you a sense of health across the lifespan. And one of my mentors approached some of us in this program during our residency and educated us about the unique healthcare needs of survivors of childhood adolescent and young adult cancers, that many go on to develop long-term age-related morbidities, and those occur earlier in their lives. And because of that, they require unique approach to promoting health and wellness as they age. And that first sparked my interest in this field, thinking of the unique way that I could use this training to care for these patients across the life's trajectory. And so that led me to training in pediatric hematology oncology to learn more about these exposures that these young people experience. And then in that time of training, I became aware of patients that who were finishing up with therapy, and I saw, you know, they're slower, they're weaker, having difficulties with cognitive issues, memory and focus, and could really see firsthand the impact of cancer and its treatment on their wellness. And so that led me to want to pursue a career in studying that and learning how that we can address that.
So, Dr. Smitherman, was there one specific patient that got you really engaged in this, or did you see a series of patients that got you engaged? In other words, for me, the field I went into was really one patient who motivated me to look at longevity so seriously. Was it one patient, or was it more, or was it just the whole, when you started looking at what am I going to do in oncology, or were you, did this motivation cause you to go into oncology in the first place?
So that is true, that this growing population of survivors, because of advances in therapy, now 8 out of 10 adolescents and young adults will go on to be long-term survivors of their cancer, which is wonderful, but that has led to this growing population of survivors that have these unique needs. And so seeing that there would be a need for providers who understood those unique needs and could help support them in their wellness and longevity, that really led me to want to learn more and to be a part of this field. I wouldn't say that there was one particular patient that led me down this path. I think it was sort of a collection of patients, those who struggled with cognitive issues, those who had exercise impairment, patients who were developing heart issues in their 30s when, you know, typically those are issues that you see in patients who are individuals who are in their 60s or older. Those are the patients that stand out to me that really led me to want to be a part of this field and make an impact in this way.
So in addition to being a superb clinician, you actually are a scientist who studied the mechanism of this. So I'm just going to divert just for a second. So it really is not just seeing the phenomenon and trying to treat it, but in fact, we get much better treatments of, and in fact, even in related fields, by people who try and find out the mechanisms.
Right.
So you've
right.
tried to find out the mechanism of this, and where's that led you?
Right. And so we have been looking at, we know that one of the hallmarks of aging is something called senescence. And so senescence is a phenomenon that develops when a cell accumulates a critical amount of damage, DNA damage. And so it shunts the cell from the cell cycle being proliferative and dividing to this senescent state where they don't die. They're still alive. They're secreting cytokines, inflammatory cytokines, or these cell-to-cell messengers. And these senescent cells, we've learned, are a hallmark of the aging process itself outside of cancer.
So we should say that these senescent cells, it's like a piece of rotten fruit. So they emit something that makes the cells around them function as if they're older. It's not just those cells, but they, if you will, influence the cells around them by what you said they secrete. So they gather buddies to function as if they're older.
Right. And these senescent cells, specifically if they are the stem cells that are the self-renewing cells that replenish the cells in the body, if those stem cells become senescent, over time you have a depletion of that self-renewal capacity, which is part of the aging process. And so senescence, along with other aging phenomenon such as cellular changes, such as telomere attrition, epigenetic changes, DNA changes, are all part of the cellular aging process. And
So I should tell our listeners that you're foreshadowing what I'm going to talk about in episode 1020 A and B in about a month, our 20th anniversary issue, where we're going to talk a lot about aging and what's being done to change that so that we're going to live a lot longer. If you will, the reverse of that is longevity. But what you're saying now is that, as I understand it, is that these cancer treatments are causing cells to become aged.
That's correct. That's correct. And so we know that senescence increases in the general population with chronological age. And with collaborators here at UNC who have examined senescence in older patients with cancer, they observed increases with cancer and its treatment of the accumulation of senescent cells above and beyond that would be seen with just simple chronological aging. And that led me to want to examine, to study senescence in younger patients to see if young patients also experience increased senescence with cancer treatment and chemotherapy and radiation and the like.
So you've got to solve the mystery. What did you find?
Right. And so in our study that we've recently presented, we saw that senescence does increase with cancer treatment among young adult survivors of childhood adolescent cancers. We had a couple of different cohorts of patients that we studied. One was a cross-sectional study of 60 survivors, on average 21 years of age, and we compared them to age-matched controls, and we found that their level of senescence was higher, the survivors was higher than that of the controls. And we did this by looking at a particular biomarker of senescence called P16INK4A. It is a tumor suppressor protein, that's correct, that is a reliable marker of senescent cells.
And so what we saw was this increase in this tumor suppressor protein put out by the senescent cells was present also in the young and adolescent cancer survivors. Is that what you found?
That's correct. And in the general population,
how great an increase did you find?
So we saw, we measure this P16 expression using a log 2. It increases logarithmically with time and age. We saw an increase of 0.7 log 2 units, which it is equivalent to approximately 25 years of cellular aging.
Now, is this marker accepted for human aging? In other words, could we see, for example, if a senolytic drug or if a neutral plasma exchange or if some form of epigenetic programming, do they decrease this level?
So senolytics are certainly something that is being considered. Early mouse model studies have shown that senolytics are able to clear senescent cells and can address the aging effects of senescence in mice. We're not there yet in humans, but that's certainly provocative.
Because you've got a population of humans you could try this in, right? These cancer survivors, the young cancer survivors. I should tell our audience who may have lost it from my going too fast at the beginning, we're talking with Dr. Andrew Smitherman, S-M-I-T-H-E-R-M-A-N, who is an MD M science at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Lindberger's Comprehensive Cancer Center. His website is uncaya.org. That's the website you can read more about the adolescent and young adult survivorship in cancer. And he is a true pioneer in this field, and you can see how it's leading into the aging field as well. So in addition to the senolytic drugs in animals, are there other things? So, for example, has someone tried in the mice models of cancer chemotherapy something like a neutral plasma exchange after chemotherapy?
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with that as a therapy. But in addition to senolytics to help scavenge these senescent cells in mice treated with chemotherapy, diet and exercise matter. Health behaviors matter. And I think that's probably where we would really see some early advances in turning this tide in humans would be with intensive programs for diet and physical activity.
So what he is talking about is, and let me make sure I'm understanding it, so tell me I'm wrong if I have misinterpreted what you're saying, is that just like in normal aging, where intensive following of a pesca Mediterranean diet has recently been shown to decrease the rate of aging by about 12 years, meaning you will live longer and with less disability, about 6 years of length of life and about 18 years of less disability, of a third less disability, so net is about a 12-year benefit. Intensive following of that compared to a relatively healthy but not typical American diet makes you younger. The same thing in physical activity of the four components that have been shown to make a difference to the rate of aging. Those things make a difference for these young adults in their concentration of, I'm going to call it P16 ink. It's P16 ink 4A, the tumor suppressor protein. Do those changes show up in this as well? Show up in the protein you're studying as well?
So that's where we're heading. That is the future of our research, is now that we are beginning to see that, yes, indeed, these young adults have elevations in their senescent cells, this increased expression of P16 ink 4A. Now we want to look at it prospectively and see how it changes over time and also start thinking about what are ways to intervene to mitigate this increase in senescence. So that,
that's fantastic. You don't know how thrilled I am to have you on. This is fantastic. I'm going to talk to you about neutral plasma exchange because an article just came out last week from UC Berkeley. Maybe it's 2 weeks ago or maybe even a month and a half ago. I foreshorten things now. But this came out from the convoys at UC Berkeley and in combination with some people at Stanford, where they developed a neutral plasma exchange in mice. So this originated in the cross-circulation experiments where if you gave young blood to an old mouse, you made him function younger and live longer. Well, this was a neutral plasma exchange where it's just like plasmapheresis that's now done. They took 50% of the plasma, gave them the cells back, but instead took the plasma and the plasma proteins out, replaced it with saline and albumin, and the animal's hippocampus, muscle, liver became younger, and they apparently lived about 30% longer just from a neutral plasma exchange. So that's something you might try also in your mouse model, and I will. I don't have your email, but I'm going to get that after we get off, and I'll email you. I think that article so you can see if it's applicable in your studies. So that's one of the great benefits of my getting to do a podcast is I get to learn new things in related fields. And that's really true of what you've been done. You've really combined aging with the problem of cancer chemotherapy accelerating disabilities in young children. And doctor, and so were I a patient, or were I to have a adolescent or young adult with a problem who's had cancer chemotherapy, let's just say testicular cancer, something like that, you want to grow old as if you're in your same cohort, or you actually want to stay young. And Dr. Smitherman's practice at UNC might be an ideal place to go, because very few places look intensely at survivorship, or as intensely at survivorship and preventing disability as your practice does. That's really what you do in life.
That's correct. And it's wonderful when your clinical interests and practice combine with your research interests, and it just makes great synergy.
So you can get in touch with indeed, you through uncaya.org to find that out. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I want to thank you. Go ahead. Tell me where else you'd like to take. By the way, is it the cancer that makes you old, or the treatment that changes this? So you also did a cohort of newly diagnosed cancer patients. Was their expression of P16 Inc 4A greater or lesser than before or after treatment?
Right. So we did enroll patients prior to their start of chemotherapy and saw that for many of them, their P16 INK4A expression was undetectable. But once they were treated with chemotherapy, their levels increased significantly from their pre-treatment levels.
Which indicates?
That it appears that it's the cancer treatment that primarily is driving the increased senescence that we're observing.
And now, so you've followed this, have you been able to follow this linearly in some other patients to see does the P16 INC4A decrease over time, or does it stay elevated in these people after therapy?
So in our patient population, we haven't had the opportunity to do that, but a colleague of mine here at UNC, Dr. Hai Moss, has done that for women with breast cancer who are older, and in their study, they've observed that P16 expression remains elevated even a year after chemotherapy. So it goes up, it appears to stay up. The trajectory is still to be determined. Does it, do you just go up and then does your aging parallel what it would have been before? Or does it truly diverge in an accelerated fashion? We're still learning about that.
Fantastic. So you're getting... you, the listener, are getting really what I would call cutting edge science. So, Dr. Smitherman, I can't thank you enough, because you've motivated me and got me excited about this field. At the Wellness Institute of the Cleveland Clinic, we do survivorship with intense stress management, physical activity, diet, and toxin removal in women with breast cancer, and all genders, and women and men with breast cancer, and all genders with colon cancer as well. So I work on the other end of the sphere in adults, but we've never had a really good biomarker other than some of the inflammatory biomarkers. So the P16 INC4A, I'm going to have to find out more about it. And just to remind our listeners, it is uncaya.org is how they can get in touch with you. And to remind everyone, we're sponsored by Persona. You can get daily vitamin packs personalized for you. Can you imagine that? Personalized just to you. Our sponsor is Persona Nutrition. I take my personalized supplements, and you can too. Take the free online assessment and get your recommendations at mypersona.com. And by the way, today there was a special article on NAD Niagen or nicotine adenine dinucleotide and how it changes the rate of aging in a very sophisticated animal model. You may want to consider that, and you can look on the Persona, mypersona.com site for the ability to get Niagen from them. It really is something to relate to aging, but we're going to talk about that in a full A and B segment on episode 1020 in about a month. In the meantime, Caitlin, thanks for great engineering, and Dr. Andrew Smitherman, thank you very much for such a stimulating and wonderful podcast. We'll be back next week. Thank you. We'll be back next week, and I only hope the guest is as good as Dr. Smitherman. Thanks again.